You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Good morning. So this is Pets Mean Business on Pet Life Radio Network, but once a week or once a month? When are we doing this?
Once a month. Yes. Time flies.
Gosh, it really does. So once a month, Susan and I get together and record a mini session, a mini episode talking all about the advancement of pet professional development and talking specifically about an organization that Susan co-founded called PAC, which stands for, please, Susan,
Professional Animal Care Certification Council.
Woohoo! Yeah, see, I can't do that. Thank you. I can't really do that at all. So I think that's the way we have to work it. I'll say PAC, you say that. That's a great way of doing it. So like Susan just mentioned, it has all of those buzzwords in there. Certification, council, pet, all of the things that we want to focus on for these monthly episodes, talking about how to help support an incredibly passionate and talented group of professionals who work with animals and work with animals in any number of ways, whether it's in the grooming world, boarding and daycare, dog walking, pet sitting, retail functions, anything that works where we call it the one-to-one ratio when you're working with, you have a one-to-one access to a person's pet. And that's really kind of the, you know, there's many verticals, like I just mentioned, but, you know, there are all these great people, right, Susan, that, you know, that really do love animals and,
right,
and are deeply driven by that love to either have a second career, a second income, a complete career change, a retirement plan, or just getting out of college or getting out of high school and literally developing, you know, a business around this passion. So that's what's been going on. Susan, you've been, just to refresh everybody's memory, if this is the first time someone's listening, how many years have you been in the animal industry?
I've been in the animal industry since 2000, so 16 years. It was I won't say
you
second.
Were 13
I
would say when
almost
you started.
Almost a third career for me, but definitely took me a while, but I found my passion and absolutely love the industry, which is why we founded PAC. Another friend of mine in the industry is because we know how hard it is and how hard people work in this career, and we just want them to be recognized for the knowledgeable professionals they are, which is what certification will bring to the industry that's been missing.
And that, of course, is, like we've talked about in past episodes, that's, of course, happens across all other industries, law, medicine, construction, you know, architecture, any physical therapy, we can go on and on. And it's just, for whatever reason, is kind of, you know, because the pet industry is fairly new. I mean, you know, you got into it in 2000. I'm not too far in front of you in 1994, 95. So, you know, over these last, we'll call it two decades, it's grown from a $17 billion industry to almost a $62 billion industry. And, you know, with that comes, with that fast change and that quick growth, sometimes it takes time to catch up to some of the kind of principles around it. And I think that the professionalism is one of those principles that hasn't totally caught up in the way that it needs to. I also, and you can either agree or disagree, I don't think it's bad that that hasn't happened yet. In fact, I think there's some positives to the point that that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we needed to really determine, you know, what these roles are and what this career is all about. And I think we wouldn't have had clarity on that, you know, even 5 to 10 years ago. So I agree. Things happen when they're supposed to.
That's right. And that, by the way, that's a really good reason. I wasn't even thinking about that. I live in Chicago. There's the police cars behind us to show us that I live in Chicago. It's not even the, so your point is excellent, but I would also say, I think what I was thinking more along just the, what's the word? I'm not objective. Come on, Susan. What's that word when you, obstacle.
Oh, the obstacles. Yes, obstacles.
Yes, yes. So there's been, thank you, there's been no obstacles or barriers to entry, which has allowed the industry to grow at such an expansive and fast pace. If some of these things were in place, let's call it even like you said, 5 or 10 years ago, I don't know if we'd be looking at a $62 billion industry. We could be looking at something much lower. So I'm grateful that we've allowed the industry to expand organically and that it's been very few barriers or obstacles to entry and that people have been been able to kind of figure their way out. Because you know what? I am that person. I came to this with a leash and a dream and sort of walking dogs. God, you know, if there were a bunch of barriers in front of me to be able to walk dogs when I was 24 years old, I would, we would not be sitting here right now. I can guarantee you that. So I'm grateful for that. But that's also kind of speaks to, I think, the bigger picture, which is how do we, maybe this is more philosophical than you and I want to get right now, but how do we effectively create certification, guidelines, framework, you know, education, but also still have an open door policy for people to make that leap into working with pets. So I think there's an interesting thing that we still need to figure out as we move forward, because we never want to make it so it's not inclusive, but we also need to make it so there are things in place. So we're thinking about, always thinking about the health and safety, public safety, animal safety, et cetera. So here's a story.
Okay.
So you and I spoke, and we always talk, and we talk about interesting things, and we always have really, I think, passionate conversations. And one of the things, and you're so thoughtful about how you think things through, and I always learn so much from you. And one of the things that you and I have spoken about in the past recently is how important it is that this education, that this certification comes to life and is something that is just a mainstream, people have mainstream access to and understanding of what it means to be certified. And, you know, which of course I fully agree with, and that's a passion that you and I share, is educating people and helping people to, you know, empower them to be better than who they are today and support them along that path. So here's the thing. I have a friend. I'm going to tell you the story and then we can kind of go with it. So my friend, her name is Nancy. I'll name her name. She may even listen to this at some point. She's a social worker. Licensed social worker, master's degree. She's a mom of several kids, a handful of kids, super smart, super motivated, athlete, just a cool person, animal lover, always has been interested in what I've been doing, has always been, you know, one of these friends who have just been very supportive and is always like, go, James, you're doing such great things. I love animals, and just really cool. She has had recently gone through a divorce and moved into a new city and had some big life changes, and her kids were feeling sad. And so she thought, well, maybe we'll get a dog, and decided that that probably wasn't the right timing. And so she had an opportunity to babysit a dog.
Okay.
She babysat a dog, and then she babysat another dog, and then she babysat another dog. And then the community she lived in is kind of a bedroom-ish community, and word got around that Nancy babysits dogs. And all of a sudden, Nancy's making more money babysitting dogs than she is doing social work. So Nancy calls me up. And, you know, I've known that she's going in that direction. I can see things on Facebook. And, you know, she sent me a few text messages. And can you believe it, James? She'll send me pictures of the dogs that are sleeping over and, you know, them, you know, the boys bathing the dog and walking the dog. I mean, crazy stuff, right? And I'm like, ugh. And I always kind of, I always answer her text and whatever with, please be careful. Oh, this is great, but please be careful. Oh, my gosh. Do you have insurance yet? Maybe you should think about getting insurance. I think that you're doing this a lot. This is great. But, you know, maybe, you know, just... Mm-hmm. Seeing this and feeling really excited for her and very organic, very authentic in what she's doing. I mean, this was just totally came about this in this way. So she reaches out to me, we'll call it a month ago, and says, I think we need to talk. Can you meet me for coffee? I said, absolutely. We've been friends for 10 years. Whatever you need, I'll meet you for coffee. Of course. So she ends up coming to my office and says, I think I want to do this for a living. What do I need to do? And I was so happy.
Yeah,
I was absolutely. So happy. She said, you know, I want to get the right education. I want to know what kind of credentials I need, like what classes do I take. And of course, I have a company, FetchFind, who provides all of those things. So she came to the right person on so many different levels. So that was awesome because I was able to fix that problem for her pretty quickly in terms of education. But point being is, here is this person who came to the industry with no knowledge, no experience, no education, and no vision about really what she wanted this to be. And now here she is, you know, months later, recognizing the opportunity that the industry created for her and how much she loves it. I mean, this woman loves it. Yeah. I mean, she was showing me pictures on her phone of all these dogs and the owners, and she got tears in her eyes a few times. I mean, this is a real thing, a real thing. And so I feel like she represents kind of our when we think of pack and we think of people making that leap from being a hobbyist, right, to being a professional, where is that line? And can you talk about that a little bit? Like, let's talk about what that looks like.
Because
for me, Nancy represents that demographic of literally babysitting dogs. Now she's going to business. And that happened, we'll call it, in a 6-month period.
Right.
So let's talk about Nancy as a case study.
I think it's an excellent case study, and something that what I love about Nancy is she, as a hobbyist, did this long enough to realize that to be a professional, there is more education and things that she needs to know. And I think that's the key thing, is to realize that the world of pet care, especially even just babysitting dogs, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with it that does require education. Every breed is different. There's different health issues. There's different, you know, diseases. There's, you know, different safety concerns. And so putting together our certification program has made us really kind of focus on, you know, what are the key things that someone who decides to be a professional pet care provider as a career versus a hobbyist does differently. And I think the first one is education for themselves, and then also investing in education and training for all the staff that care for the animals as a priority. That's just part of their business model, because there's a lot more to learn. I mean, you and I both kind of stumbled into it when there wasn't a lot of educational materials out there, and that's changed a lot in the last 20 years, but there's still not a lot out there on the importance of even monitoring how much pets are eating and their eliminations and the importance of that record to indicate pet health and kind of the best practices. So as an industry, we're getting our standards and best practices in place through the certification program and ensuring people have the education to be broad-based. I would say probably the next thing that a professional does that a hobbyist may not think about is, as a professional, you're always thinking about safety and what can you do to prevent any type of accident or injury. And so you're looking at it from a business perspective of ensuring you've got safety standards and systems in place. As you know, pet walking, it's always scanning the environment to see what other dogs or potential hazards may be out there that could impact the dog you're walking, making sure they don't escape out the front door. If you're caring for pets in your home, you know, it's the fencing, it's your electrical cords that your dog may not chew on, but a new puppy coming into your home might chew on an electrical cord and burn its mouth. It's even what plants you have in your yard or your home, that if your dog's not one who ever eats a plant, another dog that comes into your home might. And so it's always having that safety knowledge and those safety systems in place. I think those are two of the big things that separate someone who decides to do this as a professional career and be certified versus someone who's just doing it for extra money, kind of as a hobby, or maybe even just, you know, because they love animals.
Do you think that there is, I'm just throwing this out there, and I don't know if there's even an answer, and this may not even be a discussion path that we want to go down, but since, you know, since it's you and me, and I feel like we go in these places anyhow, do you think that there is something, how do we define or how do we support people kind of in between? And maybe this is so kind of a level below Nancy. Someone who, you know, of course, my mind goes to like the dog vacay model or the rover.com model, right? Someone who really, you know, is committed to having this be, let's call it a second income or a weekend gig, but doesn't want to spend the time or money to go all the way to, you know, a certification level. What kind of advice or support can we give to those people? Because I think what we want to make sure we never do as we're going down this path is to alienate people and have a bunch of like underground stuff happening.
Right.
So, and again, this might be way too big of a conversation for the few minutes we have left, but I do feel like it just came to my mind just now. And by the way, Susan, if you feel like you don't want us to talk about this, we can certainly couch it for another time. I'm not, you know, trying to be, to create any kind of controversy. I just feel like, what do we do with those folks?
Yes.
Like they come to us and what are your thoughts?
I think we should definitely educate them, not only with the knowledge they need, but also on kind of the standards and best practices. And so, you know, we do have a trade association. It's the International Boarding and Pet Services Association. And I think they should join that because they would learn a lot. They'd be able to network. They also provide some education. And it's a stepping stone to certification when that's right for them. Or it may never be right for them. But I think if they can, I think they show their dedication to being responsible by being a member of our industry trade association.
I love that. I hadn't even, I mean, that's exactly kind of what I was trying to get to is what is that thing? And you just nailed it. So Yeah, that's really good. So let's make sure we put that in our show notes, a link to that. But why don't you go ahead and just quickly give that name one more time, just in case anyone doesn't have access to the show notes.
Yeah, it's International Boarding and Pet Services Association, IBPSA. They're a wonderful organization, truly dedicated to helping pet business owners, you know, be professionals and have resources that support them. IBPSA is one of the biggest supporters that PAC has, and they were on the certification path, but really liked our philosophy of going independent certification. And so they stopped that and said, we're going to support you in this effort, which is wonderful. And it does provide more options for, you know, like you say, every level. I think what we all want is we want pets to be safe and healthy, mm-hmm. and for mm-hmm. our industry to have a great reputation. And unfortunately, what happens is every tragedy and accident that hits the media makes all pet care providers look like they don't know what they're doing, which is not true.
That's really a great point. That's exactly what happens too. Even if it's a big, you know, a big box store that has a, you know, a tragedy, that's exactly yes. right. It puts scrutiny in places it doesn't need to be, because there are people who, whether they are fully certified, whether they are fully engaged with an organization or not, it puts everyone under the wrong magnifying glass.
The other thing that happens that I don't think people realize, what happens if you do not have a strong voice and membership in your association, is the governments don't see you as a serious profession. And, you know, recently California's had some legislation that's come up that would put some pretty tough regulations on the industry. And because we don't have the support that we should have for our industry trade association, they're not seen as having the voice that's really out there. The membership does make a difference, because it makes us seem that we are a profession and we're united.
Mm. Oh, by the way, yes, all the things. I feel like that's just a mic drop moment, but since we can't actually drop a mic, because that's not really great, like, you know, recording, and that's not good radio. Well, what I will say is that IBPSA is also, you can reach IBPSA both by doing a search in the Googles, but you can also come to fetchfind.com, and IBPSA is one of the pieces of content in our marketplace, so you can access it that way as well. Okay, well, this is great. I feel like we did some really good thinking and good communicating around this idea of making the leap and how education is a part of that. Gave some great resources. If you guys have any questions, you can reach me, Jamie@PetLifeRadio.com, or Jamie@FetchFind.com. You can reach Susan. Please go ahead, Susan.
Reach me through info@PACCert.com, yes.
Okay, so you can reach Susan at that email, the .com. You can reach me, like I said, Jamie@PetLifeRadio.com or Jamie@FetchFind.com. It's been really great doing the show with you today, Susan. Thank you so much. I love our monthly chats, and I feel like we do a lot of great work together, and we'll continue. And of course, let's thank our sponsor, which is Pet Life Radio, for giving us the time and the resources to be able to get this information out there. They're a great organization. There's a lot of great shows on Pet Life Radio. If you have not listened to them, then you are missing out. They are an incredible organization with just a really talented group of podcast hosts, if I must say so myself. Okay, so on that note, for Susan Briggs, thank you, Susan. This is Jamie Migdahl, host of Pets Mean Business on PetLifeRadio.com. We'll see you for next month's PAC update. In the meantime, you can still listen to our weekly podcast for Pet Life Radio on Pets Mean Business on Pet Life Radio. We've got some really good guests coming up soon. We've got about 25 different episodes that we've already recorded. If you're interested in the pet industry, if you are feeling like this is the route you want to go, there's some great entrepreneurs and some great inspiring folks that we've interviewed throughout the last 25 episodes. I highly encourage you to check those out. And that is it. Susan, have a great day.
You too. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.